Thank you, Tibby. And thank you for having me today. Let me just open. Okay. Okay, thank you. Just to answer your question, Manisha, we don't have any plans currently to become a completely open access publisher and scrap all subscription models, but who knows. So today I want to talk to you about how Cambridge University Press currently actively supports our Hungarian researchers. We've been working with the EYES Consortium now for 3 years, this is the third year, and so we've done a bit of work with the consortium, and I just wanted to really show you what we've done and what we will be doing. Before I get to that, I'll just give a quick overview of Cambridge and what's new for 2017, because there's quite a lot coming. I'll also discuss Cambridge Open, which is open access publishing from Cambridge. I will also try and introduce our new platform that we launched just last week, Cambridge Core, and then we'll discuss how we currently support our consortium members. So as most of you know, we are a multidisciplinary publisher, and we really publish in most of the major subject areas, as you can see here. In 2017, we will publish just under 400 academic journals. We are very well known for the humanities and social sciences publishing, but in recent years, we've really invested a lot in our STM editorial team. And you can see that we've really got a lot of content now coming from the STM subject areas, and some very strong content as well. And actually now the number of volumes currently available on the platform is actually 55% STM compared with humanities and social sciences. 60% of the journals that we publish, we do publish on behalf of learned societies, and also on behalf of key international organisations such as the World Trade Organization. Our offering via the EYES Consortium currently, we offer the following discounted collections. So there's something here for everyone, really. We offer, obviously, the full collection and then broken down into the other five collections you can see there. 2017 will be a big year for Cambridge. We'll be publishing 20 new journals, which will be included in the EYES Consortia collections. Some nice journals from law. We'll be publishing all three journals for the American Society of International Law, plus two journals, one on European Journal of Risk Regulation, and then the other journal you see there. Annals is a really nice journal for us. It's actually the leading journal of leading journal of social history, which is surprising considering it was only originally publishing in French language that it was such a key journal in this field. And now that it's moving to Cambridge, we will be translating all articles, so they'll be available first in French, and then about 3 to 5 months later they'll also be available in English language. Quaternary research, for anyone that doesn't know, the quaternary period is the past 2.6 million years. So this is an Earth and Atmospheric Science journal and moves to Cambridge from Elsevier. This journal we're particularly excited about. It's a very good journal, Political Analysis. Cambridge, we are the leading publisher of political sciences. And when this journal moves to Cambridge in 2017, we will now publish 6 of the top 10 journals in the field of political science, as ranked by Thomson Reuters Journal Citation Index. And then we'll publish all of the journals from the Weed Science Society of America. A few of us had a giggle about this in the room when it was announced, because we thought, weed science, who's interested in weeds? But apparently it's a very topical journal, and it deals with key aspects of crop production, especially with when you look at a growing global population, and also the impacts of climate change on crop production. So they are some very nice journals. and Cambridge Open. Currently, we have 17 fully open access journals at Cambridge, and 230 of our journals offer the hybrid option. We do now have also 11 open ebooks, or open monographs. And as Dr. Paul said, it's interesting for us, these were really a pilot scheme, and it's interesting for us to see actually how well the print book still sells after you make the book open. And I agree, it does act really as a publicity tool to have the ebook available. It generates interest, and people then actually are going and buying the print book. So print is still alive. Currently, we have just over 2,600 fully open articles available, gold open articles available on the platform. So green or gold, obviously we offer both. What's important is the publishing process is still the same. So you submit your article, and on acceptance, we will give you the option if it's a hybrid journal or not, or if you've submitted to a fully gold journal, we'll give you the option anyway if you want to make your article fully open down the gold path, or of course you can choose the green route too. If you choose the gold with Cambridge, we offer the Creative Commons CC licenses. And for green open access, we offer the following. So the submitted manuscript that's under review, you can publish at any time on any of these web pages or institutional repositories. Accepted manuscript, this is on acceptance on a personal web page, and it's actually, it differs depending whether it's a STM journal or an HSS journal, whether you can publish in departmental repositories, either on acceptance or for STM content. Actually, we have a 6-month embargo. And then the version of record, we don't allow that. We'll have to be an abstract only with a link to our version of record. Something that I hear a lot that concerns a lot of our consortium, a lot of our library customers, is what about double dipping, and how does Cambridge avoid double dipping, which is of course relevant to the 230 hybrid journals that we publish. Firstly, I would say that generally in the hybrid journals, we're currently at a level of about 2% open in those hybrid journals. On journals where we see open access articles above 5%, we then, the following year, we lower the subscription cost of that journal based on if the percentage of open access articles goes above 5%, or whether our earnings from APCs are above that level. So we are looking at that and trying to take that into consideration now with our pricing to be fair to libraries and researchers. So Cambridge Core, this is quite exciting for us. We launched the platform just last week, and it seems to be working fine so far. This is the landing page of the platform, and it's a very simple search tool there that you can see at the beginning, but what's nice is researchers can select that they only want to search the content that they currently have access to. They don't want to see results for lots of content that they can't then view. So what is Cambridge Core? Well, it's our new platform, but the key thing is that it brings together all 30,000 plus of our ebooks and all of our journals to the same place for the first time. The platform was informed by an extensive amount of market research, and what we could see was that researchers, they just don't care if they're accessing a journal or an ebook or a database. They just want the content. They don't want to go to different platforms and different places and see different branding for books or databases. They just want to see results for their subject in one place. And how was Cambridge Core built? We've actually been building Cambridge Core for about 2 years now, I think. We've been working on the new platform. And over that time, you can see the user groups that we've consulted with, and over 7,600 of them are researchers. And that's because we really wanted to have a platform that can respond to researcher needs. As I said, so Cambridge Core really brings together all content in one place. So you don't have these six platforms existing anymore: Cambridge Journals Online, Cambridge Books Online, Cambridge Histories Online. Instead, everything will now be on Cambridge Core, and we're one of the few publishers to do this. I know there are other publishers currently redesigning their platforms, and all content still won't be in the same place. So this is something really special. I'll try and go quickly because of the time. So extensive tools for researchers. We have a lot of the key functionality that the previous platforms had. Something new is the RefMe widget. RefMe stands for Referencing Made Easy. We're the first publisher to use this widget on our platform, and it basically allows users to choose the citation style of their institution and export it in that style. And there's over 7,500 styles to choose from. So it's a really nice researcher tool to easily export citations once they're doing their research. The other new feature is the introduction of chapter abstracts. We want to make the e-books more visible. We also want to save researchers time so they can quickly read an abstract of an e-book and be able to identify whether the e-book is useful for them or not, the same way they can do with the journals. The other new piece of functionality is Cambridge Core Reader. When we look at our user statistics, we see the majority of downloads being downloaded as a PDF, even though HTML is where all of the advanced functionality is. So Cambridge Core Reader is basically, it downloads and it looks like a PDF, but it has all the enhanced HTML functionality and is fully responsive, so it fits nicely to whichever device the user is using. And I wanted to say to all of our members and librarians in the room, please don't worry, because all of your access should be working. Redirects are in place. So if you haven't already changed the URLs or updated Newmark records or KBART lists with the journals, your users will still have access to the content that you've got. There will be automatic redirects in place. I managed to speak to some of you in the room who did say everything is working, so that's great to hear. And I will send this round to all members as well after the presentation. We've got some, these are really nice video demos. They're very short guides and they're very visual, so you don't need sound. And, you know, this will really help you understand what you need to do with the new platform and how you can still get your usage reports and make sure your account settings are correct. So finally, how does CUP support our ICE consortium members? You know, purchasing the content is just really the first step. Purchasing the content isn't enough. We need to make sure that the researchers are aware that the content exists and they know how to use it and they are using it. We can help on the first level. We create user guides, video demos, posters. We do customize for your library, so if you want certain logos or certain links on the posters, we do that for you. And we also have a local trainer. We work with Scientific Knowledge Services, and they have someone here locally that can give demos in Hungarian. So something that we did to help our members raise awareness of the journal's access was the journal's awareness campaign that we ran last year from July to December. And this was really key. I mean, it can only work if we work with you in your libraries, because you're closer to your researchers. So what we did was we sent all of the members information about the journals, how to access the journals, most downloaded articles, key relevant articles, and this would then be forwarded to your researchers and to your departments. And the idea was that the library that had the best increase in usage from July to December as compared with the previous year would win an iPad for their library. And this here is the winner. Szeged University actually was the winner of that competition. And as much as you need your users to use the content, we want to generate more publications from Hungary. We want to see more publications coming from this region. And you really need to be, we need to make sure that users are reading the content in order to be able to publish. So this shows publications from the past 4 years, and these are the top publishing institutions currently with Cambridge. What we have seen since we were working with the EYES Consortium is a huge spike in our ebook denial. So the usage of the journal's content has really been generating then denials on the ebook content when users have been navigating the platform. In the blue, you can see the total number of denials, and the yellow line shows the number of ebook titles for those denials. But getting back now to how we are supporting the members. So this is one of the training workshops that we did last year. This is here, I think, at the Academy of Sciences. And so this was a training session on the platform, but we also held some sessions on how to publish with Cambridge. And these were extremely popular. And so we've decided that we will actually run these again, starting this autumn around November and going into the spring. We're going to run a series of training sessions and some more workshops where we will have an editor from Cambridge to speak on how to publish, because the editors are just, you know, they work with this day in, day out, and they're really the best at delivering this. So this will be coming up. And if you want more information, please speak to us about this, if you're interested in this. Also coming up is Shibboleth implementation, which we think will be extremely important in usage for remote user usage. And the generation of scientific content. How can you make sure that your user, your researchers are able to publish in internationally renowned journals? First of all, you need to choose a trusted brand of content, and Cambridge journals can offer you that. We publish high quality internationally renowned journals, and we're one of the few publishers that still has a very rigorous quality checks and a peer review process is in place. We are a department of the University of Cambridge, and we must uphold their high standards on quality. So we can guarantee that for libraries that want to provide access, but also for authors that want to publish with Cambridge. And finally, what is Cambridge doing to best serve its academic community? We have a very strong mandate from the University of Cambridge that we must fully embrace open access publishing, which we have been doing and experimenting with, not just in journals, but also in monographs now as well. We have employed more trainers in the company to help our libraries and our consortia use the content, make researchers aware of the content, and how to then become published in internationally renowned journals. And finally, something that is quite interesting for us internally, and I think interesting for libraries and research in general, is we're changing the way the internal revenue allocation is made for our journals. So previously, revenue allocation was actually done by the subscription cost of the journal, but now, more and more, we're actually looking at the usage to allocate money back to our societies and our journals. And we want to do that because we want to be able to provide our editorial teams with the information of what content is being used and how it's being used, so that we can better drive better publishing from what your researchers are actually reading. So that's something that's quite a big change. It sounds small, but it's quite a big change for us internally. And we think that will really help drive the kind of publishing that researchers want to read. That's it from me. So please, if you have any questions. Well, my email is there, so please feel free to email me or speak to me if you have any further questions. Thank you.